Starburns Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.
You guys, listen, we're technically on a hiatus. We have gone through and found our Book Was Better episodes, of course, about all of the Harry Potter movies, to warm you up for our upcoming movie series. We're going to be doing Indiana Jones and Marvel, lots of movies. Mm-hmm. We're getting you in movie mode. We love you. We're going to see you soon. If you have not already, you know what I'm about to say. Please subscribe and leave a rating and a review. We see a bunch of new listeners coming on. Thank you for trying us out. And so enjoy these remastered ones. They'll now be here for you to find easily. If you're binging the books, we hope you're enjoying it. And we will see you very soon.
Very soon.
Enjoy. Bye. Hello!
And welcome to...
Filthy
Nerds.
Because we're filthy.
And we're nerds.
And there is not one, but two of us.
Or as our friend Hilaria from the last episode would say, dos personas. Fuck it. You guys, we're back. This is going to be the end of Half-Blood Prince. We're bitching about the movie. That's right. The part you've come to know and love or possibly hate. I can't believe it's over. We're moving into book 7 of the Harry Potter series, but next week we're doing a little palate cleanser, giving you a brief break. We're going to be doing David Bowie movies. So that means The Labyrinth, which if you're listening to this right now, you have already missed the recording of.
Oh, you loser. You fucking losers. You missed it.
But we're also doing The Man Who Fell to Earth, which is a weird 70s sci-fi movie that he was in.
Also, I just want to quickly add, we got merch. We bought our own merch. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see how cute this sweatshirt is. It's Sirius Black.
And who's it says, your god daddy?
Who's your god daddy?
It's epic.
It's epic. I'm obsessed. Jess has one. Our producer has one.
Yes. So if you want one of those, or we have other cool merch, we have links to that all over our social medias and in the show notes. If you find the podcast, we will put that there. We've got cool mugs that say trans witches are witches, trans wizards are wizards. Also, if you want something that says common cunt, we've got that. That may not sell as much in retrospect that people are like, where can I wear a shirt that says cunt on it?
We should probably maybe get rid of that one.
To your grandma's house, but it's not for everybody.
Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, I apologize. I ate right before this and I just keep picking my teeth.
I mean, I say you're welcome, you know? And if you want to shit on us live as we record, you can join
Shitting
Patreon.
In real time?
Patreon.com/twofilthynerds. Get in on it. We got a good crew. We're watching movies together and we're going to have a lot more series coming up with movies. About halfway through this book, the patrons only will be voting on what series we do next. So you want to get in there now so you can be part of the voting. We got a lot of options floating around. Indiana Jones. Will it be Star Wars? Will it be Lord of the Rings?
I really want Indiana Jones, but now that I know the Indiana Jones movie is coming out in 2022... I think we might have to wait on that one. Do you think by 2022 we'll be able to go to movie theaters again?
I don't know, but I don't think Harrison Ford is going to survive long enough to make this movie.
You know what? I wouldn't doubt it.
I thought he died in a plane crash. Did he get the plane crash?
Did you really?
Didn't he crash a plane recently?
I don't know. It sounds like a rich thing to do.
Well, yeah, then maybe he'll never die.
Yeah, he's never going to die. If you can survive a plane crash, you're invincible.
He's Voldemort. I think we're just going to roll into it.
Yeah, let's roll into it.
We're just rolling into our Book Was Better spectacular. Never failing us in the franchise. Never failing.
Ever, ever failing. But there were some elements that I thought were really fun in the movie that weren't in the book.
We had a couple patrons saying that this was by far their least favorite movie of the movies. First of all, The beginning of the movie is completely different.
Totally different. There is the havoc the Death Eaters are wreaking upon London. That is something.
It starts very dark. And what in the book was a small portion of something that the regular British Prime Minister reflected upon. Oh, a bridge collapsed. There has been a hurricane in the middle of, you know. We're seeing the havoc actually being wreaked. We see I liked the way they did this with the Death Eaters flying through the sky.
I like that. Yeah. I was expecting the next scene to be meeting of the new prime minister.
Yeah, but you know, in this movie, they don't even mention that there is a new prime minister.
Nope.
We
don't mention it at all.
We don't see him. Scrimgeour kind of gets like fucked. This is like if they just like edited Joe Biden out of history for 2021 and they just like they don't say anyone else is president. They just like don't mention the president in a documentary on politics. They just start talking about like, and here's the state of the world. Who's behind it all?
I'm actually happy they left him out because I don't feel like he was strong enough of a character.
He was, as far as anyone can tell with the sixth book, it was kind of like more the point was to let us know that Cornelius Fudge was out, I think, than anything else. Was that like, this is a new era being like reined in. I mean, we saw Cornelius Fudge do nothing and not believe Harry. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, I mean,
with the old, in with the new old.
Well, yeah. And given the way that, you know, we discussed it with Scrimgeour really trying to position Harry so that the optics of what they were doing looked good, him being moved in there may have been a purely optical move on the ministry's part.
That sounds like optics to me for sure.
We got to fire someone so people know that we're taking it seriously. Yeah.
I was a little confused during the opening. There was a lot going on that I was like, wait, why?
Yeah. Well, also it really like opens with Harry at like just a coffee
diner.
Shop in a train station, by the way, hitting on some muggle. Like he was flirting.
Yeah. I think they wanted to do that to establish like Harry got hot. He might not look it, but Harry is growing into his own because he's able to just pick up a waitress at a diner.
Well, yeah, because what's crazy is that I think without doing that, and even reading the book, the perception to me is like Harry is hot because of who he is.
Yeah.
Like in the wizarding world, girls think he's hot, but it's because he's he's interesting, as Lavender Brown would put it. But he's like just hot, period.
Speaking of Lavender Brown and lack of diversity.
Yeah.
I think they put that waitress in there. The waitress was not a white girl.
Yeah.
So I think they threw that waitress in there. They're like, well, we're getting rid of Lavender Brown as a black girl and turning her into a white girl.
But at least we gave a small under five part to this young black woman in the beginning who has no significance to the storyline.
Yep.
Literally zero significance.
They literally wrote in a minority to the storyline. I think they just did it to have a minority.
Of all the scenes they cut for budget and then they put in this scene, I mean, maybe I guess that makes sense as like the only logical reason, like just to show him getting cock blocked by Dumbledore. Because that's what happens.
I think it's to establish
he's hot,
that he got hot, and that whatever Dumbledore business is always top priority.
Absolutely. That he's like, there's no pussy that will stop me from gallivanting around the globe with Dumbledore. And that's, you know, of course, they go straight into finding Slughorn, which I thought that was shot really well with him.
Oh, in the movie they did, Dumbledore later on was like, oh, winky winky, that was a real hot girl you were talking to there. She's very pretty.
Yeah, that's so funny. In the book,
nothing at all. Because Dumbledore in the book is older, wiser, doesn't give a fuck about the ladies.
Yeah, and when they made the movie, there was no false storyline that came out later as a scramble for diversity on J.K. Rowling's part of Albus Dumbledore being gay, which I still think is a lie. I'm telling you, he was flirting with a woman in the first or second book. That was just her grabbing at relevance, which, as we know.
I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of gay guys who flirt with women because it's fun. It's sport.
Do they blush when the women flirt back?
Yeah, for sure.
Lies. They're lying to you. They're not gay. They are lying and pretending to be gay, so you let them grab their boobs. They do it all the time. Som, you know what I'm talking about. I'm yelling at our producer, who very much would never want to go near any of our boobs. Okay. We have just received breaking news.
This just in.
From our producer, Som, who diligently read the notes on the Amazon Prime download. Apparently, there was a scene in this movie originally with Dumbledore hitting on a woman, and J.K. Rowling had to call and have that cut out. So in the defense of what I just said, there at no point up into this was there any even inkling that he was not a straight man. And I'm telling you, he flirted with a woman. But you're right. Gay men can flirt with women. Mm-hmm. Anyone can flirt with women. We like being flirted with, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, women are spectacular. Men are spectacular. I want to flirt with everybody.
I want to be left alone. I'm so Rufus. Horny. I'm a Slughorn. Leave me alone disguised as a couch.
Oh, he played a perfect couch. Jim Broadbent. Okay, so there's the like scene in Diagon Alley that really annoyed me because they didn't use the sneakoscope to eavesdrop on the conversation with Malfoy and Narcissa and Malfoy, in the shop.
Yeah, they also just don't have that scene of in the robe shop where he like gets mad at the robe lady and like yells at her for touching his arm, where he's clearly, as we learn later, hiding his dark mark.
Yeah.
Which gives Harry a clue.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he didn't sneak away from his mom. He like went with his mom into the shop.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about the scene with Narcissa and Snape and Bellatrix?
I thought that was actually really well done. I really enjoyed that scene.
Yeah.
But in the book, I wasn't totally clear on whether Snape was into it or when he was making the unbreakable vow. I didn't get a good feeling of how he felt about it one way or the other. And then in the movie, it was much more clear. And I just thought that scene was so well done.
What did you think was clear? Like when you watched him?
That he had hesitations. Like I don't totally believe Snape is all bad. I think Snape was like, oh, fuck, I have to do this. Otherwise, they're going to know. I think he's keeping up a disguise. I think Snape, I don't know.
And you think as part of keeping up that disguise, he killed Dumbledore?
I think Dumbledore knew it was going to happen. I think
and
Dumbledore.
He's just like, no, NBD. Okay,
Dumbledore was 5 million years old already.
Yeah, but he hadn't given, there's so much information Harry didn't have from him.
And I feel like that's why Dumbledore in this book more than any other book was like, all right, Harry, there's a lot we got to cover. Because I think Dumbledore knew that time was a ticking. The clock was ticking and he had to get in a lot of shit with Harry. And that's why I think he was like, really like, all right, Harry, we got to do these lessons. You got to see what's in the pensive. You got to come with me to get the Horcrux. You got to know what's going on. I think he was doing his best to get Harry, you know, caught up, because I think he knew inevitably, like, this might be something that's going to happen. I don't know. This is just a theory I have.
Interesting theory. You know what I thought was interesting is that in Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, which, by the way, beautiful, gorgeous joke shop. Love it. Would love to work there. They like really point out Peruvian darkness powder, which in the book,
until the end.
No, they might have. I don't think they even mentioned it.
They mentioned it
in the beginning scene.
No, not
but
at
in
all.
The book, at the end of the book, there was a part where when Malfoy had come out of the room of requirements, everything went pitch dark.
Yeah,
and then Ron goes, "Oh, I'm gonna kill my brothers. That's Peruvian darkness powder." But here, not only do they mention it right up top, Harry uses it on the train to sneak into the Slytherin car. So,
and there was also no scene with Slughorn where they were all in a car with Slughorn and he was like doing his whole elitist shit.
I don't even remember that scene.
Because Harry was in there with another Slytherin kid. And when the Slytherin kid went back, he followed him back.
The like slug club thing. Yeah, they just had him burst this powder. So we early on saw the powder so that it could be like a foreshadowing for the movie for later. But, seems really careless to just do that on a hunch.
And then Malfoy finds him.
Yeah, he does his same
does
like,
his thing, breaks his nose, blah, blah, blah. But instead of Tonks finding Harry, and the train had already started moving and then Tonks found Harry, as in the book, in the movie, it was Luna Lovegood, which I wasn't mad at that. I thought it was a good change.
She had her little glasses that help you show warbles or whatever. Like, so she has the glasses on. She sees that like, oh, there's a bunch of these things right here. And that's how she's able to be like, someone's right. There's a person laying here. And she finds him. I thought that was fun. I'm never mad about more Luna.
Mm-hmm. Never mad about more Luna. Bring it
on.
There was
no Tonks. There was no her throwing off the storyline by being around at mysterious times. They really don't even touch on Tonks and Lupin.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that's not even part of the storyline at all. Sort of,
there's this moment where you're like, oh, I guess. I think there's a moment where they're holding hands or something. Like you're like, oh, I guess they're together. Like
they were always in proximity of each other in the movie.
Absolutely.
So maybe it could be inferred. I don't know. The one scene in the movie that I'm like, the fuck is the burning down of the Burrow. What was that fucking scene?
I don't fucking know.
Absolutely no need for that. There was no need for that scene. You could have put in so many other details from this book and just cut that scene completely. It was so dumb.
Yeah, they just had the Death Eaters come and burn down the Burrow for no reason. Was like, who okayed this scene?
Yeah.
But we can't have a small storyline of Tonks. Because it's like, yeah,
Tonks
I feel like...
Tonks and Lupin? Are there any lovemaking scenes? Do we get any ever?
I'm sure there are anybody, on youporn.com.
Oh, I would love to see just Lupin just dicking down Tonks. Just
and every time he fucks her, every time he thrusts, her like hair just changes color.
Yeah, she's like a filter.
Yeah.
On Instagram, it's like pink hair, green hair, blue hair.
I feel like if you're just watching the movie and you hadn't read the books, you would go, I guess they're together. Like you would assume that's always been a thing. And I feel we discussed it when we were watching the movie with the patrons, patreon.com/2filthynerds to be part of the live movie watches. But somebody pointed out this movie was really written in a way that it was designed for people who read the book. They really just sort of let you infer a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I also, they never even circled back to the Burrow burning down. I feel like
that was the most useless detail in that movie.
I didn't remember. I knew I had seen the movie, but I didn't remember watching the movie until that scene. Cause I had that same guttural, like angry feeling of what in the fuck is this? And I was like, now I remember watching this. And I remember being in theaters being like, are you out of your, what the fuck is what?
Had no payoff, worth nothing, didn't need it. It's like the foreskin of a movie. Like,
absolutely.
Why is it still there?
Oh, yeah. It's...
And to all the patrons who have foreskin, don't you worry. I've been with a lot of you.
That sounds like you fucked our patrons.
Maybe. You know, who
knows? If you fucked our patrons and we're not making any more than we're making, that is embarrassing.
That is a shame. That is some very stagnant pussy I'm slinging here. So, really quick. The one of the things that I thought would have been included more were the flashback scenes with Voldemort, like kind of giving us more backstory about Voldemort and his making. They did show the scene with the orphanage, but that was it.
Yeah.
And then they did show the interaction between Slughorn and Voldemort.
Yeah, but
that,
like,
was it.
You completely lose this information you got in the book of really where Voldemort comes from.
Yeah.
They don't show the Gaunt House, which reveals a lot about Horcruxes specifically. Yeah. They don't show the memory of him as a young salesman getting those important belongings from Hepzibah that Dumbledore theorizes might have Horcruxes in them. Mm-hmm. We don't see the story of his mom, you know, falling in love and putting a love spell, which I thought would have been interesting because they really... It's for all they cut out, they like really made room for, like, who was the girl playing Lavender fucking to be in this movie? Because why was that such a big, huge detail? And they left out most of Tom Riddle's like background story.
Insane. But I think, like, because the Tom Riddle story might not be that captivating to people. I don't know, because it's a flashback and you're not as invested in those people.
I guess. But like, I would have liked to see him, you know, having that look of craze in his eyes when he's trying to buy the products off of Hepzibah, or even going back to visit, even that story of him going back to visit, you know, the Gaunt House and him pitch darking everything, by the way.
Yeah.
Everything goes black, not in real life, but in the memory, because that's when he fucks up whoever's memory it is. Like, we don't hear about Gaunt. We don't hear about where the locket would have come from.
Yeah.
Or
it's just all of a sudden there's just a locket. I think I want to highlight now the biggest tragedy of this whole movie is that there was no Moaning Myrtle.
Yeah.
What a lost opportunity to bring my spirit animal back.
I just like, was that a budget choice of like, we don't want to pay one more person for a speaking role? Because really, if you think about it, when you really think about the book, other than her going, there's been someone in here crying, which he then walks in on.
Mm-hmm.
Because
but he wasn't even crying in the movie.
He was. I mean, yeah, he was.
Was he? Oh.
Yeah. He was crying in the movie. There was no one in there. It was like, for some reason, a broken bathroom. And I don't know if that was supposed to imply that he was actually in that broken bathroom that's always mm-hmm. broken. Like, it was flooded. So I'm like, are we implying that this is where Moaning Myrtle is? Because she always floods the bathroom, mm-hmm. like going down the pipes. But I know her only purpose was to like let them know that that was yeah. going on. And then, so I...
We really didn't need her, but I just always love a good Moaning Myrtle scene. She really brings a lot.
Maybe she finally got too old, that the actress, they're like, well, now that she's...
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
She's yeah. 45 by the time we've shot this scene. We shouldn't yeah. have her play a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
And if we do someone else, people are going to be like, that's not the original Moaning Myrtle.
And it would have been a younger actress.
A younger, hotter Myrtle.
Ooh, hot Myrtle.
Yeah.
That sounds like a sex move, a hot Myrtle.
A hot
Give Myrtle. Her the hot Myrtle.
That's so funny. Well,
what would the hot Myrtle be?
Involving crying, just for sure.
Like you're on your period, so you're crying and you're sad, and then you just
why your period?
Because that's when you're most sad.
Oh, speak for yourself.
What are you fucking happy on your period, you bitch?
I am the most sad right before my period.
No.
And then when my period comes, I'm like slightly less sad.
And then once it's done, I'm slightly less sad.
Yeah, I'm never
but
like
it never
not
really
sad.
Goes away. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you know what is there was no mystery to where is Malfoy going?
Yeah, there was none of that. We just immediately knew that he was doing something in the room of acquirements with the vanishing cabinet.
And they're immediately showing the vanishing cabinet.
Yeah. With this bird that he's like, you know, sending to
Borgin and Burks.
And the whole, like, it's all explained so early on.
And then, like, when he makes the apple go, like, one of the first things he does is an apple, and it comes back, and there's, like, a chunk taken out. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, is the vanishing cabinet broken, or did the guy working at Borgin and Burks just, like, take a bite of your apple?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, and send it back.
Yeah, I never fully understood that. And they had these, like, weird special effects going on, like, where it was, like, kind of... warpy. Like, I don't know if you noticed that, but they tried to make it look like there was something magical going on in there, so it was like kind of like a distorted wavy view. Image.
Yeah.
I there's not enough of an explanation for this. Like, I get it, there's a cabinet.
Yeah.
And we see a similar cabinet, you know, at the beginning of the movie, but there's no, if it's vanishing, it's more of a teleport cabinet than a vanishing cabinet.
That's really true. And, you know, maybe I'm just picky about how much detail I wanted, but I didn't feel like they really went too deep into the Half-Blood Prince. Like, they definitely made it a plot line, but, like, the Bezor joke was never made, and then Harry just grabs a Bezor. That's never explained when Ron's poisoned.
They did say the word Bezor in class.
Yeah.
But that was it. It was just used as a word just in passing by.
We didn't get to see that sort of witty interaction of... him thinking of it, and you just didn't see, like, there wasn't enough scenes of him using the book to justify how annoyed Hermione was, in my opinion.
Also, there was not enough of the Half-Blood Prince for the movie to be even called The Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah. Then no one mentioned Eileen Prince. Like, there was no...
Like, why do we even call it The Half-Blood Prince?
If we weren't going to make it, you know, an integral part of the plot. And there's a bunch more. We're going to take a break. And we're going to come back with the fucking rest of the shit that pissed us off. All right, we're back talking about this shit fuck movie. It's like, there's really
trash movie.
So few redeeming. Wait, really quick. Have we gotten to the part that you think was, you said there's a part that you actually really liked how they did. Is that still later?
It was the funeral part at the end. We'll get to it later.
Okay. So what else is there?
Oh, Harry falls into the water in the cave.
Oh. Yeah, that there was not really discussion of don't touch the water, but also
there's no discussion of don't touch the water.
There's no, no Dumbledore going, don't, like, if they come near you, think fire. Like, he gives him he tells him what to do in the book.
Yeah.
And he still doesn't do it. Yeah. It's just him sort of fumbling around, which is also they don't, like, because there was not a lot of flashbacks, that cave has no significance. It's just
none.
They're in a
cave. We don't know what that cave is. It's just a random cave.
Where it's like, that cave is so fucking significant in the book. Like,
yeah,
that tie of that's where he was when he was a kid, that's like so important.
I feel like I remember in the movie there was a picture of the cave in one of the in the flashback.
Now I don't remember.
I think one of the really annoying things that they changed in the book versus the movie, and I actually didn't totally hate the way they did it in the movie, but the book was kind of more interesting, was when Dumbledore is about to get murdered. In the book, Harry was frozen under his invisibility cloak.
In a hallway that leads up, yeah.
Yeah. And in this, he's in underneath... in this area below where the action is, and Dumbledore is like, whatever you do, do not say anything, do not come out, nothing.
It's such bullshit that, like, the Harry we know, I feel like not frozen, would have done something.
Yeah.
He has anger issues. He doesn't control it well. Also, they completely cut out Madame Rosmerta. There was no dark mark above the castle. So why the fuck did they fly to the astronomy tower anyway? That makes no sense. Like, they're just like, let's just go in here for some reason. The dark mark didn't show up till Dumbledore died. So, like, Harry's just under the floor, like, I better be quiet, like a non-magical horror movie. He's like Shoshana in Inglourious Basterds. Like, what are you doing down there?
Oh, Shoshana.
You have a fucking wand in your hand.
Yeah.
Also,
the whole thing was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it was shot cool.
I liked, the part I did like about it was how Snape came up to him and was like, shh. Because at that point, you're like, oh my God, Snape really is on their side. I think if you hadn't read the book and you were just seeing the movie, the scene where Harry's underneath that floor and Snape comes up and he's like, shh, to Harry. I think if you're just seeing the movie, you'd be like, oh, Snape's still a good guy. And that would have been an even bigger turn. When Snape kills
when
Dumbledore.
Snape, it would have been like, because you would have thought Snape was coming up
to save
to
the
help.
Day. And then he, and also in the movie, again, you got a better idea of like the subtext of how Snape was feeling about killing Snape and his hesitation.
Snape
I
was
mean,
feeling about killing Snape.
Snape was feeling about killing Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And it was like in the movie is like, oh, he's really, this is a struggle for him. This isn't easy for him. But in the book, it was like his face was like filled with fury and anger.
Yeah. Like,
and then also,
wait, in the book,
in the book, it said it described him as being full of anger. And then in the movie, it was like, he was like, oh God, it was like, you could see his hesitation.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did show one scene in the, they showed one scene in the movie, which in the book, I think, was more described by a drunk Hagrid overstating that I heard them fighting about something. But that was so unclear. They sort of showed that fight between Snape and Dumbledore. Yeah. Maybe I don't want to do it anymore. Maybe what you do is, but, and it's like, what? Like, that was, doesn't make sense anywhere. And also in the book, when all this is going on upstairs, there's a war waging downstairs.
Yes. Yeah, there's no war.
Nothing.
In the movie. None. Not a ruffle. Oh, no. The one thing that did happen was Bellatrix on the way out, like, fucks up the whole Great Hall.
Yeah. She, like, dances across it. But even then, it seems like, the other Death Eaters are almost like, what the fuck is she doing? Let's just get out of here.
Yeah.
There really is no... I mean, I know we've said it, but just reiterating, like, you don't get any closure about Snape or, like...
No.
Wait, like, there is no even, like, way for someone watching that to wrap up what the fuck just happened.
Yeah.
Snape just killed Dumbledore, and then they're all fleeing, and I think maybe Snape lights the hut on fire in the movie. No, Bellatrix?
One thing we miss.
Hagrid's not there, by the way. He's just...
Hagrid's not there. One thing we missed that I was... obviously really bummed about was the Bill Weasley floor scene.
Yeah, you don't,
because there was no battle. Bill Weasley didn't get hurt, and therefore we didn't get to see the heart wrenching, touching, whatever scene between Fleur and Mrs. Weasley.
And then it's like, I mean, I wonder if whoever planned out the shots and the scenes for this even took into account, like, how much of the stuff they cut out might be relevant for the next movie.
I can't imagine. I feel like in the movie, the next two movies, they're probably going to have to do some flashbacks to this movie to kind of add stuff. They took out way too much.
Yeah. And it's, again, like we said, like, when Snape reveals the title of the movie, The Half-Blood Prince, nobody gives a fuck. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
To me, it just comes across as like, and you took my book. Like, that's...
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much how it was. The sniveling little Snape. Oh, he said something about his father, too.
I mean, something to the effect of, you know, using someone else's stuff. Oh, yeah, oh, I think it was, you know, your father would never even try to take me on without four other people.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, then why don't...
Because Snape kept getting pissed about being called a coward in the book.
Yeah. Well, in the movie, right?
In the movie, but it wasn't... Harry said it a few times in the book.
Yeah. Does he say in the...
In the movie, he said it once, I think. He called him a coward once, and he was like, coward, and then that's when he said the shit about, oh, your dad?
And it's like, yeah, I think at this point, it's pretty clear Harry's not his dad. Why don't you fucking let it go, Snape?
And also, what Dumbledore said about, you know, his greatest regret. Oh, and there was no scene
with
Trelawney.
No. Oh, yeah. Trelawney being drunk with the bottles, trying to hide them.
And telling him. And there was no learning that Snape overheard the prophecy, and he's the one who told. So that never happened. So Harry didn't have that whole anger against Snape.
Yeah, that sent Harry into his initial rage where he confronted Dumbledore yet again, but was like, how come you never told me that? You can't trust Snape. And it was sort of Dumbledore like laying the hammer down. Like, look, I've told you I trust him. No further questions. Like.
Yeah.
Which, well, is what it is. But fucking, it would have been. That would have just given so much more context to it. And that's when Dumbledore said, you know, that Snape had explained to him after that happened, that was his greatest regret. And he didn't anticipate what would happen, which even in like, was it? And now I don't know if it was in the book or the movie where that was brought up. And Lupin goes, bullshit. He didn't get, in the movie, I think in the movie, am I losing my mind that I think Lupin was like, he didn't give a shit about James?
No, that was in the book. That was in the book.
I thought that happened. If I'm making that up, someone roast my ass. And I think...
There was a scene in the movie where Harry's talking to Lupin and he's like, you know, harping on Snape being a bad guy again. And Lupin is like, listen, I trust Dumbledore. If Dumbledore says he's good, he's good. Let it go.
Yeah, like he's like...
And that is also the reason why I think, ultimately, Snape is a good guy. He goes to the dark side, but then comes back to the good side. And loses his life in doing so.
I love that you think... I love the optimism of Dumbledore's dead and you think there's going to be an option for people to come back to the good side. What a sunny
outlook. I think he would want to come back to the good side, but he has to die instead. Snape dies.
You think Snape dies?
Snape dies.
You think he dies trying to come back to the good side?
I think he dies saving Harry.
What?
Yep. I think he dies saving Harry. I don't know.
You think he dives in front of Voldemort like the Secret Service?
Mm-hmm.
No, Avada Kedavra me instead.
I think maybe Snape and Dumbledore made an unbreakable vow. And Dumbledore was like, you need to protect Harry at all costs.
Interesting. I could see how you would loop that in mm-hmm. as a thing, given that J.K. Rowling likes to repeat things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'll give you that much.
And then there was no funeral.
There was no funeral. No closure. No getting to see the mermaids sing. The centaurs come out of the forest.
Yeah. I mean, what a cinematic scene that could have been. And they just shit the bed. But yeah. I did like in the movie when they all had their wands up like it was lighters at a concert. Ugh.
That was kind
of
fun.
To me. Yeah. And the light of the wands pushed away the dark mark in the sky.
Yeah, how do you clear up a dark mark, by the way? Can you just be like, all right, we get it. Someone died here. Can we, is this Argus Filch has to like, by hand,
Argus
scrape
Filch
that
has
out
to
of
go,
the sky?
Go mop it up.
Just cover it in another mark. just paint over it. It'll be fine. Yeah. I thought that was like a weird choice. And then I didn't feel like, I mean, we get the scene of Harry going, I'm not coming back. You know?
Yeah.
And then being like, well, we're going to go with you. But I didn't get the sense in the movie, tell me if I'm wrong, but like that there was debate about whether or not the school was going to be open.
No, I didn't get that. That wasn't established at
like
all.
There, no one was questioning that school would go on.
Yeah. Basically, the way it felt in the movie is that basically they were going to be dropping out of school to go pursue Voldemort.
Yeah. And also McGonagall becoming headmaster. Obviously, even in the book, it was unceremonious. But I felt like it wasn't even clear.
Yeah, it wasn't clear in the movie
and, like,
at all.
Dumbledore sleeping in a portrait. And I just feel like watching that, you don't even really get that that's like a nugget of anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Movie 6 sucked.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Warner Brothers.
It was fine. I cried at the funeral scene in the movie. When I was reading the book, I cried. Yeah, that funeral scene. That funeral scene is when it became real for me that Dumbledore was gone. And that was, Dumbledore really is one of the most perfect characters ever in any book.
He is an amazingly created character. And I also feel like not having the funeral be a huge deal like it was in the book denies him that like glory, like in the as far as anyone who watches the movie franchises goes, like, oh well, your kooky principal's dead, like,
yeah,
like he's
I don't think you understand how epic of a person Dumbledore was just from watching the movies. Like, you don't, you're just like, oh, his mentor died. And it's like, no, this, like, literally in the history of wizardry, this is the greatest man ever known.
Yeah. And here, as far as casting, I feel like the only new character we saw besides White Lavender Brown, who we all have our fucking feelings about.
Slughorn. As Slughorn. Jim Broadbent as Slughorn. I thought that was great. I was picturing someone a little more bulbous in the nose.
Yeah.
A little more rotund. Slughorn, maybe the fact that it's Slug is in his name.
It does make me picture a morbidly obese person.
Yes, absolutely. Who moves sluggishly. But instead, it's just Jim Broadbent.
Yeah, they're not all Lupin. Not everyone takes on their namesake. I mean, has Harry even ever tried Pottery? We don't know. I'm just saying, his last name's Potter. He's meant for much less.
I hate you so much for that.
Meanwhile, Ron Weasley, nailing it. I don't know what Weasley
nailing
means, but
it.
He's Weasley.
By the way, Ron in this movie, more annoying than ever. Oh, I can't stand him.
The Quidditch. I'm glad they had the Quidditch scene.
Yeah.
It's always fun to see Quidditch. And just like they really painted a picture with him in the helmet. And the
Oh, he's such a...
Oh, such... what did you think about how they did Harry and Ginny? I feel like
I thought it was fine. It just didn't feel like they had any more of a connection than just that. Like in the book, it's like that kiss is like, there's so much behind that kiss.
Well, because
there's so much leading up to that. And it was in front of everybody and everybody's freaking out. And that, oh, I would have loved to have seen that moment where Ron is like, tip of the hat, old chap. But that wasn't in the movie. In the movie, it was just them by themselves.
In the stairwell on like, I also just was like, I don't think the movie made it clear that like for a moment they were like a couple.
Yeah, not at all.
And
it just seemed like Ginny had a crush on him and he was like, had feelings for her too, but.
And they went for it.
And they kissed and that was it. It didn't feel like couple-y at all at any point.
And we lost the like big, and I think that's a very emotional part is like, you finally got this girl who you have realized you've been pining after for probably years.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know that you cannot be with her. We didn't get any of that.
None.
Fuck you, David Yates.
By the way, there's a comic named Dave Yates.
Well, fuck him too on principle alone.
Dave Yates. Death to all Dave Yates.
Because he shares the name of this horrendous producer, director, whatever the fuck.
Whatever. He probably got a producer credit too. That is it, you guys. That is the wrap up for The Book Was Better.
Really quick.
Because The Book is always fucking better.
Before we fully wrap up, I just want to say a quick, I'm on Google right now looking at the movie information, and I want to say an equal fuck you to Steve Kloves, who apparently adapted the screenplay.
Steve Kloves,
you
yeah.
can suck a dick. Dave Yates trusted you to get
you
him the information.
You can eat the bag of dicks.
I hope he's dead. Is he dead? That's not a threat.
I hope somebody Avada cadavers him.
I hope your career is dead because of this horrendous mistake. All right. Subscribe on Patreon to be part of the live episode recordings. Patreon.com/twofilthynerds.
Don't forget merch. Check out our merch. We got really cute stuff.
We've got cute stuff. Next week, we've got a David Bowie spectacular. We're going to drop two episodes on two individual things. I have not seen The Labyrinth, so we will be talking about that. And more to come. And about halfway through book 7, patrons will start voting on what our next series is going to be. So if for none of those other reasons.
Be there or be not square because we nerds.
Okay, wait, really quick. So you know the title of the last book.
Deathly Hallows.
What the fuck does that mean?
No fucking clue.
No ideas, no
guesses? I think Deathly Hallows is ultimately where the biggest battle will go down.
You think it's a place?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, we'll find out. Stay tuned, kids. And don't forget to wash your broomstick after you stick it in your ass.
I'm gonna go do that.
Bye.
This has been a Two Filthy Nerds production.